Hello, I'm Tommy Chong. If you want something really nice in your laboratory, buy Durachill. I'm telling you, if you're not using this Durachill, you're not really in the pot business. You're just on the fringe of it. So if you really want to get serious, man, this is what you need. You need a Durachill in your life. You've got the technology here to have the cleanest, purest, healthiest product. I'm impressed. You want me to sell this? Buy it. Try Durachill or else. If your chiller's down, you ain't making money. And you heard it from me, Tommy Chong.
Brought to you by PolyScience.
Welcome to Cannabis Tech Talks, your weekly source for news and insights at the intersection of cannabis and technology. This is Patricia Miller, Executive Editor. The foundation of any successful cannabis business is compliance. So for this episode, I'm sitting down with Katie Cravens, Vice President of Compliance Services for SC Labs. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah. So there's a lot to learn about compliance in the cannabis space. But before we really dive into some of the cool stuff you're doing, maybe you could tell me how you got into the cannabis compliance space and sort of what started that journey for you.
Definitely wasn't on purpose. But, you know, I found an opportunity for myself in 2014, just when medical was converting to recreational in Denver, well, in Colorado. And I moved out there, and a friend had gotten me a job for her boyfriend as a janitor at a cultivation facility. And so I stepped in and started doing that work, and I just quickly became the yes man, taking on any job that nobody else wanted to do, which was compliance, regulatory work, documentation management. I often joke that every grow needs a grow mom. So I kind of stepped into that role and just started organizing, which is kind of one of my superpowers anyway. So that brought me into cannabis. We actually outsourced a compliance company to come in, and I became very, very close with the owner of that company. And she took me under her wing, and we started working together on different projects, not only internally for us, she was our consultant, but I was helping her with other companies doing inventory reconciliations and audits and standard operating procedures. Her company had kind of fallen to the, she took on other opportunities. And I continued doing consultation work while running and working at other facilities. So in my time in cannabis, I've worked in almost every position within the industry other than extracting material myself. I have no laboratory technical background. And so for the safety of me and my peers, I've stayed out of the kitchen. although I have run multiple manufacturing facilities. So in that time, I wrote SOPs all the way from being a janitor to my last full-time position as a top director for a national brand that started out of Colorado. And that's kind of where the SOP thing got started for me.
Yeah, I think that's maybe a fairly, you know, common trajectory for people, like you kind of get in where you can get in and then find what you're good at in your niche and where you kind of excel in the industry. So I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate.
That's the beautiful thing about the cannabis industry. I don't think I would have had the opportunity to really prove myself or present the options that I built in another industry that was maybe more mature. Cannabis has really given me the grounding that I needed to create something for myself and work that I enjoyed. And promoting something that I've been an advocate for since I was honestly too young to be, but.
Right. Yeah, relatable. So you started building SOPs for people and really looking at compliance. What were some of the common compliance issues you saw people running into?
So every time somebody had me come in to do an inventory reconciliation or a facility flip, I would go in and spend 3 months on site. And I would do a gap analysis, and then I would make any recommendations to the processes, retrain staff, usually bring in a new manager, and retrain them before I left them for success, right? My goal is to always leave people so they can succeed. I teach them how to fish. So in that time, though, every single time I was addressing anything, the fix, the solution, the problem, all came back to the standard operating procedure. Compliance is a very big umbrella in the cannabis space, and it's also known as kind of a dirty word. Mm-hmm. So you have a hard time talking to owners and operators using the word compliance because it's just a conundrum. It's something that they've already been so, you know, it's like they just kind of fog over in their eyes, like this again, like I don't want to deal, right? But if we talked about process, compliance is just a component of that, right? And the operators are excited to talk about quality. They're excited to talk about their product consistency, their methods. So I had to get people excited about compliance. And we really took it back to the process and then just identifying compliance within the process. I have seen tons of things. A lot of really common things. People aren't wearing their badges properly, right? Which can end up in a fine if it's not, you know, under the neck and above the waist. In most states, I believe that that's how it's written. Visitor logs. Properly verifying IDs at the point of sale, because sometimes people get lazy. It's been checked at the front desk. I have had a client, well, Sue had a client who the MED came in and looked at the video for 25 minutes for a completely different reason. But one of the budtenders was taking this is when they had the difference in the taxes for the states, right? Was taking the ID and just quickly looking to see what state you were from. It was very clear that she was not identifying the person, the expiration date, or that person's age, right? $5,000 fine for every time she did that. In the 25 minutes they viewed that camera footage, she saw five customers.
No way. Oh
That
my
25 minutes
gosh.
cost them $25,000.
Get out. That is wild.
And they could have watched it all day. They could have watched it for weeks. They could have gone as far as they wanted to go. After 25K, they were like, "Do you get it?" Right. So it's there's I mean, and then depending on what type of facility you're in, you're going to see a lot of differences in manufacturing and what might be falling to the wayside, and then cultivation. A lot of people haven't been properly educated on respiratory health and worker protection standards and ventilation and things that you just common knowledge you should really have before entering these facilities. And someone who's working with material and equipment within these facilities. So it's kind of a long-winded answer, but I've seen a lot. I've seen a company not get the MED's approval for a new process. So all of the cartridges that they created were considered backdoor weed because they were not, it wasn't confirmed that they could use that process. And so they had to get rid of thousands of carts.
That's so expensive. And so that's what I meant, you know, during the intro when I say like the foundation is compliance, because you can put so much heart into your business and then have issues like this come up that just devastate any margin of profit that you might have made, you know, after taxes. So I really appreciate you kind of sharing some of those details with us, because it's something that a lot of people roll their eyes about, but so crucial to keeping your business above board.
It is. And when you look at the fact that we're creating a consumable product, okay, there's safety standards here that other industries have to follow. They're not picking on us just because we're cannabis. They are in other ways, right? Like we're not talking about 280E. Don't even get me started. There's a lot of discriminatory practices for cannabis operators. Following compliance rules and regulations for safe consumable product isn't one of them, right? Like this is something we should, I don't know what I smoked in college. It's kind of terrifying, right? Or the materials that were used for extraction or anything like that. If things were properly, you know, I don't know. I was never an extractor, but, you know, it can be really scary. And as much as I'd like to think that everyone's just doing the best for all of humanity, they're not. People are selfish. And a lot of the reasons that I even got into this role is because I was sick of being treated horribly by some of the owner operators that I worked for. And the conditions that they thought were okay to put me in, and some of the requests and the things that they were asking of me. And it's like, no, dude, there's workers' rights here. Just because I'm your employee doesn't mean I need to come into an office when there's black mold.
Yeah,
Figure
that
that out.
deserve to be safe, right?
And this is, you're also cultivating medical product here. Like, I have a responsibility for consumers and for patients to actually report that type of activity. Just really hard because your friends work there. that's their jobs and their livelihood, right? So if you can't get the owner operators to get on board, like how do you ensure that you're not part of making a bunch of cancer patients sick from moldy product?
Yeah.
And this is before really testing and stuff was, you know, at the level that it is now, but I'm here for the power of the plant. The more responsible practices that we can convey and prove within our industry, the more power we give the plant and the more access the people have to the plant. And Mama Cannabis has a lot of work to do when it comes to the healing of a nation and a planet. And I'm here for it. But we have to do this the right way. We have to ensure that we're keeping our employees safe in the process and that we're distributing safe product. And all of that comes down to compliance, right? Mm-hmm. These rules exist for a reason.
Yeah, I think that was beautifully said. I really appreciate that.
Thanks.
Yeah. So when we first started talking about getting together on Cannabis Tech Talks, you were working under the title of Build My SOP. So tell me about how, just in the past few months, that's kind of undergone an evolution and sort of where the business is at now.
Huh. So like I said, doing all of the compliance work and writing SOPs for all these years and really understanding that everything comes down to an SOP, because without it, I can't hold anyone accountable. I can't tell you what my standard is, right? I can't. There's nothing I can do from an actionable standpoint without an SOP. So that became my focus. And I took the 5 years of writing SOPs that I had developed into specific facility types. So cultivation, manufacturing, retail, and transportation. And now we do offer consumption lounges. So I took those templates because, listen, growing a plant's growing a plant. There are tons of different variables to it, but you got seed to sale. That's the system, right? And it's going to go through its baby and then vegetative state, and then it's going to go through its flowering state and then harvest and then drying and curing. So we created templates, and they are about 90% of the way there. You can purchase those templates, and your compliance team or operators can take on the work of customizing them to your local municipal rules and regulations and state regulations, or you can outsource us to do that work for you. Part of the thing I saw, like, a platform is only as good as the work you put into it, right? Our operators are, you know, we're wearing so many hats. I mean, getting product out of the door and getting paychecks into people's hands, there's barely enough time for that. And so when you're asking someone to write SOPs, number one, on something that they perhaps have never performed before, that's daunting, right? Number two, like, with what time?
Yeah.
Right? Like, yes, these are the base and the scale, but like, if the time doesn't exist and the knowledge doesn't exist, it's not going to happen. So I noticed, like, a system is great, but unless we're providing a service to really complete the overall goal, it's falling to the wayside because people just don't have the capacity to take it on. So with our templates, we already save them a year's worth of work, right? Mm-hmm. And they can just go in and plug and play and make the edits and make the differences. Maybe they're not working, with power cloners. Maybe they're, you know, on a dome and plug system. So just little differences like that. Although we do have those examples for both power cloners and dome systems for cloning. So you could just even just delete a process if it doesn't apply to you, right? So, and it helps them also understand their workflow. I really, really encourage people to get those SOPs during the development of their facilities if they haven't been built out yet. Because once you see it from a daily process and a table of contents, like, you know, once you see it in a table of contents outline, it's a lot easier to understand what your entire operation looks like.
Yeah.
And so I think, after that too, then once that's done, they have to be maintained, right? For some reason, my mission on this earth is to help people understand that standard operating procedures are not these stagnant books to collect dust on a shelf. They are living, breathing documents that can help your company evolve and change and scale. And especially in cannabis, when our rules and regulations are changing every 3, 6 months, 12 months, I needed a system that could maintain all of that. So I created buildmysop.com. You can get your templates. You can maintain them. We take care of version control, document management. There was some stuff in there about, you know, employee write-ups and things that I needed as an operator. So we were very successful from July 2020 was our kind of soft launch. And then April 2021, we really hit it hard. We found ourselves in 11 states with over 50 admin users. And that's when SC Labs found us, Chorus found us. And they had built out the side of the platform that I was literally getting estimates on building out. And that's kind of the side that I call our digital compliance binder. And so they take care of licensing, locations, vehicles, document management, audits, all of these wonderful features. And then they were kind of missing the templates and some of the features that Build My SOP was known for. And so we incorporated that into the Chorus platform, and now we've got this beautiful system that I am so excited to share with my current clients that we're currently onboarding and with everybody else, because this whole notion of the government doesn't have a way to oversee these facilities anymore from a regulatory standpoint, that's over. We figured that out. There's no more excuses. There is a way to do it. There is a way to do it. And so, we've just been acquired within the last, I want to say 5 months. So we've been busy just bringing on feature changes into Chorus, and I've taken on a role of a vice president of compliance services. So it's been really exciting.
Yeah. Congratulations. That's
huge.
Thank
you. Yeah. I had my head down for so long, right? Just like grinding, working, preaching the power of SOPs. It's kind of weird to look up now and not only see like what I've accomplished, but like the people I'm surrounding myself with, because SC Labs has an incredible reputation when it comes to integrity. And that's the type of cannabis people I want to work with. Those are the type of operators that we want to help thrive in this industry, right? Are the people who work with honesty, integrity, and really want to put out great product, safe product.
Yeah, that's the dream, right? So on that note, we'll take a quick sponsor break to pay the bills. And when we get back, we'll have more from Katie. You deserve a choice in your growing media. With VitaWool, you finally have one. VitaWool plugs, blocks, and slabs are made from 70% recycled content here in North America and give you the precision and control you always get from your growing media with the customer service you've never gotten. See why more growers are switching to VitaWool, get a spec sheet, and join the movement at vidawool.com. All right, and we're back with Katie Cravens. So I'd love to understand, and I think our listeners would too, what are some things that business owners can do to kind of create a stronger culture of accountability, and how do SOPs play a part in that?
SOPs are the guideline. SOPs are the thing that you don't have to say anything else. As an owner, operator, manager, did you follow the process? Right? We have a great task management system that I love because you can actually attach any supporting documentation to that task. So not only is this good for communication within the workplace, but from a risk mitigation standpoint, it's also very valuable. I have an underage sale conducted at my retail store. MED comes in. I can show them. I have a SOP that's been signed and dated that this employee was trained on how to properly verify an ID at the point of sale. Not only that, but this morning, that employee received a digital copy of that SOP. And when they agreed and accepted to their task, they agreed to follow that process.
Mm.
As an owner operator, I've done everything I can to enforce a compliant practice. And this really is an employee error, right?
Yeah, that's awesome.
So there's that with it. Also, like, I'm a manager. I'm doing a lot of things at once. And a lot of the times I can't get anything done because all of the little tiny things that come and interrupt me. So with a system like the task management that we have in place, hey, I forgot how to do this process. Did you look at your SOP connected to the task? No. Great. Why don't you review that for me? And if you still have any questions, come and ask me. We'll walk through it together.
Right.
9 times out of 10, I don't get any more questions. Hey, I need something printed. Did you look at the supporting documentation connected to the task? That clone login form is in there. go ahead and press print. Like, I just can't anymore, right?
Yeah, right.
Also, like, just the proper workflow and communication channels is so important, and making sure that those are followed. As an owner operator, if you're going to give somebody a job, you have to give them the authority to perform that job, or no one's going to take them seriously or respect them. And they're going to be miserable, and you're going to lose good employees. So often you're in charge of everything, right? I was in charge of all of the bullshit, but I had no authority. And the people who were causing me bullshit, I couldn't fire because I didn't have authority. And it was like chasing my tail, right? So, and if I can't cuss, I can redo that, but.
No, you're fine.
adults.
Yeah, we're big kids. I don't know if I'll ever be an actual adult. But I often, like as a compliance director, especially, I found myself arguing with the people that hired me for my knowledge and my expertise. Mm-hmm. Like, what am I doing here? Right? Everyone wants to feel valued. People in this industry are here because generally they have a passion for the plant.
Yeah.
And we all want to grow. We all want to evolve. It's part of just human nature. Right? So I think also reviews are so important. And keeping track of not only where people need to work on things, right? What errors they might have made, incident reports, things like that, but commendations. Talk about the good stuff. Send a little praise out. If somebody does really something big, like send out a group something.
Yeah.
Pat them on the back. Like we're growing weed. Let's have a little fun and let's really think about what this plant's supposed to do, right? It's supposed to bring us unity, happiness, health. We should be living in that within our facilities too, because it's a good life. Everything doesn't, like when I started having like heart anxiety attacks from helping people smoke a joint, I had to take a step back. Very counterproductive. And their peace is not worth more than mine. Right? Like this has to be done in a good way where we can all communicate properly. We can all appreciate each other. It's hard to hold yourselves accountable when you mess up, but as a manager too, hold yourself accountable. That was my mistake, my error. Thank you, team, for being here to help me fix that.
Yeah.
Right? Owning up for your own shit, because we're humans, right? And that helps you be more relatable to people and they have more respect for you.
I think on that note, people, when they're reluctant to set up SOPs and they're like, but I'm having all of these issues and problems with my staff or with my manager. If you have an SOP, you know, something I've been talking to my mom about, she owns a dispensary in New Mexico, and she gets frustrated. I'm like, if you have the SOPs in place, you don't have to be the bad guy. These people know what you expect out of them, and it's written out, it's clear as a bell. There's no question that this was set up already. It's not personal. This is for every person should
know. Actually, it is personal. This is my license, and if you mess it up, I can lose it. So it's very personal, right?
But it's not a personal attack on you. Yeah. It's this is the standard I have set in place, and so it takes out that level of, you know, are you coming at me personally? And it's like, no, I'm not.
It's the victim mentality from things.
Exactly.
It sets the standard and you can pull yourself away from it. And it's really hard, especially if you've already started a facility that didn't have the strongest compliant culture. Really hard to implement that down the line.
Right. You got to start out with that.
And it takes a third. If you do flip it down the line, which everybody in Colorado had to do, right? California, like I've seen a lot of places do it. It helps to have a third party come in and do that flip. I'm known as the wicked witch of the weed in Colorado. I'm fine with that. That's cool. Whatever. I will come in and flip your facility for you. You can call me the bad guy. It's not somebody else got a job. We've been here as long as each other, or this, I have seniority, even though I have no business being a manager because that's not in my skill set.
Right.
But now I'm a manager because I was here 6 months before you, right? Also putting people in the jobs that they're meant to be in, right? Don't just hire your sister for something because she's your sister. If your sister's a great retail manager and she has that experience, good at it, hire your sister. Also, don't ask people to do stuff that they don't want to do because they won't do it well.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't ask my growers to go into my state seed to sale system. They're not there to do that. They do not want to do data entry and computer shit. They want to work with plant.
Yeah.
Why would I ask somebody to be responsible for the most important part of my business from a compliance standpoint that doesn't want to do it?
Yeah, totally.
It's going to reflect in their work, right? So choosing the job that's right for the person. I was going to say earlier, like I'll clean a toilet once a week as a manager or an owner operator. I will. I get a different experience when I'm working in a facility with others when I'll do things like that. Right? What else was I going to say as an owner operator? Oh, to sit down. If you're the big guy at the place, every employee is dying for some face time with you.
Yeah, really.
Figure out 3 or 4 days a year that you can sit down and acknowledge every single individual that works in that facility and thank them for their work or ask them if they'd like to share anything. You can learn so much from people at every level
Oh, yeah.
to make yourself stronger, right? To make your company stronger, to make your morale stronger. We have a 40% turnover rate in this industry. That's horrible. And I'm sorry, but that does have to do with owner operators
Yeah, company culture.
and not giving people the tools that they need to succeed and grow, and not giving them, again, the ability to do their jobs, right?
Yeah,
Not
the tools they
giving them
need.
the authority, but giving them all the shit to deal with.
Yeah, totally. And speaking of dealing with shit, let's talk about enforcement. So I think something I've seen in a lot of emerging markets, New Mexico is no different, is the lack of enforcement. So you've got people who are really doing their best to put their compliant foot forward, and then they see the shop across the street not checking IDs, not doing any of these compliance things. And it's frustrating to know that you're spending time and money and effort
Focus
sticking
on
to these
yourself.
rules and seeing other people not do it. What advice would you offer to people who are feeling that frustration?
Focus on yourself. That's not your problem. Give that to the divine. Let your divine take care of that problem.
Yeah. Do you
On
think there's
yourself.
a lack of enforcement? Do you think we'll see more enforcement coming in emerging markets, or is this just something that's always going to be an issue?
I mean, I think it's going to be, I think it's going to, eventually it's going to be just like alcohol, just like tobacco, just like food, just like waste, right? It's going to be looked at like that. There's still people who are doing, people have to be looked over because people aren't doing the right things, right? If we were all doing the right thing. Now, I've reported things, not for any of my clients, but things that I've seen that are literally going to kill somebody.
Yeah.
I have told people about. I couldn't sleep at night if I knew that.
Right.
Like I that's so focus on yourself. You be ready for when that investigator walks through your door.
Yeah, I think
That's
that's
your
great
only
advice.
problem. You be ready for when that investigator walks in your door. Whatever happens, and I've seen a lot of operators have filtered out of the Colorado market, right? Have filtered out of the more mature markets that I worked for a facility that lost their license because they wouldn't listen to me. Right? I left at 6 weeks later, they'd lost their license.
Yeah.
I wanted them to do the right thing and I cared very much. And I didn't tell the MED anything about them. I
Yeah.
just left because no one was in danger. But I couldn't be part of that. I just couldn't, right? I just say focus on yourself, grow the best product you can, make sure that your customers are getting the best experience. Make sure that they're getting the best quality. Make sure that your team morale is up. Focus on you and how you can make yourself awesome. That's really, I mean, you can't control the other stuff. And if you try to, it's just going to upset you. And what does that do? You know, it takes us 7 hours for our body, our nervous system to re-regulate after being angry.
Wow.
It's a whole fucking work day. What a waste of a day.
Yeah, words to live by. I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? But it is frustrating and it is bullshit because people will invest in systems like me or places like me, but then they'll also, that's the thing that kept them open. I've had several people call me and be like, oh my God, I don't know what I would have done without this
Yeah.
in Mexico with people doing the wrong thing. So who's to say?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Well, let's look forward. What do you see sort of on the horizon for the regulatory compliance landscape? What do you see coming down the pipeline?
SC Labs is doing some really cool things, and now we're going to be able to provide some analytical backed SOPs, right? We have analytical data for 15 years with SC Labs and testing. We can really help in those fail tests and really getting back to why did we fail? Was this an environmental thing? Was it, you know, was it part of the product we were using? Whatever. So we'll help you identify those fail tests. We'll help you rewrite your SOPs. We'll get them onto a system that helps you to maintain those SOPs, keep your version control, all the things you need to do from a compliance standpoint, right? As well as distribute that information to your employees, as well as being able to grow and scale it, right? The system really helps with all of that. So with SC Labs and the compliance services, we really want to become that fractional compliance director for you guys. Or we want to support your compliance director. Our system can be an amazing support for them so that they can really focus on their job. Or, you know, if you guys are a smaller mom and pop shop and we don't have the full salary for a compliance director, we can help you with those fractional services. Once we've done a customization service, we can help you on either an annual, biannual, or quarterly basis to review and update those SOPs. Depending on what's going on in your state, we know the newer states will have emergency rule releases and there'll be more changes. And then after the first 5 years, it's kind of like an annual thing, more 6 months to a year. So you might need more at the beginning and less in the end, but we're offering, let's see, audit services. I'm doing an inventory reconciliation here in Albuquerque this week. So just a lot of different things to make sure that we can help you guys get to that A compliance score, right?
And yeah.
And you guys can confidently walk an inspector in and say, I love this. One of my clients said, the inspector said, I've never left a facility without writing a violation. I can't leave yet. And he was like, I got Katie. What do you want? Ask me anything. I want every operator of mine to feel that much confidence when they have an inspector at their door.
I love that. So Katie, where can our listeners go to kind of keep up with you, what you're doing and follow along with the SC Labs journey?
Great question. Well, for me personally, you can keep up with me on my LinkedIn. It's a great place. I'm always sharing lots of really good information there. So at KADY Cravens. And then also on my socials, Katie, the SOP lady. And then chorus.cc is where you can find out more about our amazing digital compliance binder and SOP platform and services.
I love that. I think I'll be checking that out. It sounds like a good set of tools.
I would love to show you the retail ones, actually, for your mom. I think you'll be like, take these, please.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll take you up on that.
All right, we'll find the time.
Well, I appreciate you chatting with us. I know I learned a lot. Are there any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would like to share kind of my three keys of compliance.
Awesome.
So accuracy, consistency, and transparency. If you want to be compliant, act like it. Really, that's the three things that the state can want of us the most. Be accurate, be consistent, and be transparent.
I love that. Act like it. That's cute.
Act like it.
That's great. Awesome. Well, I think we'll wrap it there. Thanks for joining us, Katie. It was really a pleasure.
So nice to meet you. Thanks for having me. We'll talk soon.
All right. I can't wait. For our listeners, if you'd like to learn more about emerging cannabis technologies, be sure to like this podcast and subscribe to Cannabis Tech Talks. You can also grab the most recent issue of Cannabis and Tech Today on a newsstand near you, or grab a digital issue at canatechtoday.com. Until next time, stay elevated.